Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, well, we're setting aside the usual research papers. Instead, we're taking a deep dive into what's arguably the most critical regulatory week in competitive sailing. That's the 2025 World Sailing Annual Conference in Dunleary. And we're really zeroing in on day five, synthesizing the decisions made then because honestly, it was a packed day, meetings that are essentially redefining the competitive landscape right now. So if you're invested in sailing, maybe you're an athlete, an engineer, or like us, just really curious, the equipment committee and the offshore event organizers forum meetings from that day, they pretty much set the rules. Equipment rules, safety standards, really for the next, 4 years? Our mission here is to distill the immediate actions and also the forward planning. We're talking some pretty dramatic class withdrawals, a mandatory look at Olympic gear coming up, and, well, maybe the biggest shift in manufacturer accountability we've seen, especially for high-performance stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, this wasn't just, you know, ticking boxes or housekeeping. What really came out of day five was, I say, a bold, maybe even aggressive regulatory push.
Yeah.
When you put all the decisions together, you see World Sailing actively cleaning up its existing class structure. But at the same time, they're bringing in these safety mandates.
Yeah.
Mandates that really stress test the fastest boats, the foiling ones. These are, I think, genuinely seismic shifts. They'll ripple right through the sport.
Okay, seismic shifts. Let's unpack this. Where should we start? Maybe with the most immediate shockwave. That would be the equipment committee's big overhaul. The changes to the recognized world sailing classes for 2024. This is where that aggressive pruning, as you put it, started.
Right.
Four classes. And these are classes people have raced for years, suddenly recommended for immediate withdrawal. We're talking the Melges 20, the X35, the B14, and the RS500. And, you know, it's tough seeing boats like the RS500 on that list. It's been such a grassroots staple. It really signals a serious focus on maybe efficiency, market relevance.
It does. Selectivity seems to be the key word for the committee. But, and this is important, it's not just about cutting back. It's more like controlled evolution. Because while those four were recommended for retirement, the committee also endorsed five new classes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so those additions are now lined up for the General Assembly. It shows the system is very selective, yes, but definitely not stagnant. Things are still coming in. And we also saw them keeping a close eye on emerging tech.
Mm-hmm.
The WASP class, for instance. That's a key foiling class.
Right.
It's been under review. The committee acknowledged the progress they've made since the mid-year meeting, but they held off. Deferred further recommendations for now. That tells you they're being very deliberate, watching carefully to see if these fast new technologies can maintain, you know, the necessary infrastructure and safety as they grow.
Hmm. So if you're a sailor or maybe a manufacturer listening right now, this kind of aggressive cycling of classes, it must be the clearest sign yet. The longevity of any boat is just constantly under scrutiny. You have to show sustained growth, relevance.
Absolutely. Demonstrate that ongoing viability.
Okay, so that's the overhaul of existing classes. But that committee was also looking ahead, right, towards the next Olympic cycle. Let's transition from the immediate cuts to the future-proofing side of things.
Hmm.
You mentioned Regulation 11, targeting 2026.
Yes, Regulation 11, I sort of think of it as the mandatory sanity check. It's the rule that forces collaboration. It specifically requires the equipment committee to work directly with the event committee. And their job is to thoroughly review, essentially recertify the equipment for several key events planned to 2026.
Which events are we talking about?
It's a pretty comprehensive list.
Yeah.
They're reviewing the gear for the mixed dinghy, the mixed multi-hull, the men's kite, and the women's kite events.
Okay.
And this isn't just a suggestion. It's mandatory, a strategic collaboration. The whole point is making sure the equipment stays world-class, meets the evolving demands, you know, before the next Olympic cycle really ramps up.
And it's not just the newer classes or the kite boarding getting this level of inspection.
No, not at all. The plan explicitly includes reevaluating the high-profile Olympic classes, the ones used just now in the Paris 2024 Games.
Ah, interesting.
That's right. Think of it like a mandatory recall and maybe a software update for the boats. These reviews, they're standard in the Olympic cycle, sure, but they're critical moments, inflection points. They determine which equipment gets the green light for the next phase of competition. It's how the sport ensures the platform. The boat itself is robust, safe, and, you know, aligned with the cutting edge.
Like moving from one generation of Olympic dinghy to the next, basically.
Exactly. It keeps things current and competitive.
Okay, let's pivot, because you mentioned safety earlier, and this is where things get, I think, really interesting, especially for anyone involved in high-speed sailing. These discussions on mandatory standards, they seem to go right to the heart of manufacturing accountability. So on a broad level, what did we see? a big push for standardizing athlete protection.
Definitely.
They urged all classes to actively report incidents. That sounds like a move towards better data gathering centrally.
Yes, exactly. Centralized data.
And there was significant support for defining specific ISO standards for impact vests, standardizing what protects the sailor's body.
And that focus on detail, it really ran through the whole day's discussions. Beyond the vests and incident reports, they were finalizing equipment timelines for key classes, ILCA, IQ, FOAL.
Okay.
They were updating helmet rules for certain disciplines, making technical tweaks to kite identification systems. It's like they're closing regulatory loops wherever they spot potential risk.
Right. Plug in the gaps.
Pretty much.
But the really groundbreaking change you suggested was around the Manufacturing Certification Program, the MCP. This sounds like the new framework for verifying quality.
That's it.
The office updated on the 2025 audits, you said, but the plan for 2026... that was the big one, the most important action item.
Absolutely. For 2026, World Sailing is mandating verifiable third-party foil testing and reporting by the manufacturers themselves.
Wow.
This is, I think, a monumental shift in accountability.
Mm.
Historically, you know, innovation could sometimes outpace regulation, especially with foiling, where you have these immense forces on tiny surface areas.
Sure.
Now, manufacturers must provide objective, verifiable data on the structural integrity of their foils.
Yeah.
And provide it directly to World Sailing.
Hang on a second. Isn't World Sailing kind of stepping into the role of R&D auditor here? Does that risk stifling development? I mean, if I'm an engineer trying to push hydrodynamics, mandatory testing reporting, that could slow things down at overhead.
That's a very valid point. It's a fair criticism. It does raise the bar, both for entry and maybe the sheer speed of innovation.
Yeah.
However, look, this seems largely driven by safety and, frankly, liability. We've seen some high-profile equipment failures, serious injuries in recent years. That really forced the issue. So this mandate, it's about moving past just general compliance checklists. It's about ensuring structural integrity, especially for parts under extreme stress. It tries to balance that need for innovation with the fundamental requirement that, well, the equipment mustn't just catastrophically fail when you're doing 40 knots.
That makes sense. It shifts accountability from just ticking a box to actual measurable testing of critical components, almost like adopting an aerospace standard for key parts.
You could see it that way, yes. Verifiable structural integrity is the goal.
Okay. Let's leave the structural mandates from the equipment committee for a moment. We need to switch gears completely, head out to the high seas, talk environmental governance, because while all that was going on, the World Sailing Offshore Event Organizers Forum was also meeting, wrapping up the day, and the Development Symposium was continuing too, right, over at the Royal Irish Yacht Club.
That's right. A busy day all around. And on the infrastructure side, for the offshore world, the forum gave attendees an update on World Sailing's internal support systems. They detailed the new structure for the technical and offshore team, explain the proposal portal that's for tracking regulatory changes.
Okay, transparency.
Exactly. And they emphasized the incident reporting portal again. The theme really was centralized data collection, transparency, building that digital backbone to support ocean racing.
And then came the technical presentations, the ones that really define the sport offshore.
Yes. James Dadd gave a deep dive, another deep dive, into the history and goals of the offshore special regulations.
The OSRs. The fundamental rule book.
The absolute bedrock for offshore safety and preparedness.
And following that, Stan Honey.
Ah, yes. A legend in navigation. He discussed technology's critical impact on modern offshore sailing.
Which then led into a panel.
Right. A panel specifically focused on future strategies. How to handle the technological challenges. You see, the core question for that group wasn't if tech advances, but how do you regulate the inevitable? The rise of AI. Real-time data systems when you're miles out in the ocean.
Yeah, huge challenge.
Absolutely. And then, connected to all this, the environmental mandate came through.
Mm-hmm.
Damien Foxall introduced the new marine megafauna guidance. And he stressed how relevant it is now for organizing authorities, the OAs.
Okay, so this is a big shift, more than just general awareness.
I think so. Previously, environmental awareness might have been, you know, nice to have guideline. Now, OAs have an integrated responsibility. They have to manage interaction with marine life whales, large cetaceans, that sort of thing.
And practically, what does that mean for a race?
Well, it means race committees must incorporate this guidance when they're setting routes, timing events. So if there's a known whale migration corridor active during a certain season, the OAs now have a regulatory imperative to address it.
By changing the course.
potentially shifting starting windows, maybe adjusting routing decisions slightly to minimize impact. It basically integrates conservation right into the race logistics.
Fascinating. Okay, so let's try and synthesize all of this, the whole of day five in Dunleary. What does it all mean for, you know, for us watching the sport?
Well, if we boil down this huge volume of regulatory decisions, I think three big themes emerge that will define the next few years. First, equipment classes are being aggressively cycled out. We saw that with the four major withdrawals.
Right.
But new ones are also being actively vetted for viability. So churn and evolution.
Okay. Theme one, class cycling.
Theme two, 2026 is the hard target year. That's when all the Olympic-level equipment gets reviewed under Regulation 11, keeping things current, keeping things safe.
Right, the mandatory review.
And third, and this is probably the most crucial one for engineers, manufacturers, the era of, let's say, self-governance in high-speed equipment safety. That seems to be ending, thanks to those mandatory foil testing rules. Data, verifiable data, not just compliance sheets, is the new king.
That really does set the stage for the rest of the conference, doesn't it? The 2025 World Sailing Annual Conference continues Saturday. There's the World Sailing Council meeting and then the ultimate authority, the General Assembly. That's where some of those new class endorsements you mentioned will get the final yes or no.
Exactly. The final decisions happen there.
Okay. But let's leave you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on. Building on that crucial safety mandate, the foil testing. This requirement for mandatory data reporting, it demands a level of verifiable performance, verifiable safety, that we haven't really seen mandated quite like this before. So the question is, how precisely will this mandatory data requirement change the pace of innovation in sailing? Will it actually slow down risky, maybe boundary-pushing experimentation because designs need rigorous pre-approval? Or will it simply force engineers to be more rigorous, more structured, right from the start?
That's the tension, isn't it?
It really is. That balance between safety and speed, it's something every competitive sailor, every manufacturer has to grapple with as this next sailing cycle really gets underway.